Okay, good afternoon, everyone.
And go ahead and open your Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. Isaiah 57, it's in your bulletin, and it's on the screen, but I recommend that you have your own Bible app or paper Bible open as we go through the scripture text today. It's six verses, but actually I'll be covering material from the whole chapter of Isaiah 57. So to keep that in mind. Okay, let me go ahead and read the text. All right. Okay. I'll begin at verse 16. Let's read the together from the beginning. It ends kind of weird, so that's kind of a strange place to end together. But let's read from verse 16 through 19, and then I will finish from 20 to 21. So let's read together Isaiah 57, verse 16. I will not accuse them forever, nor will I always be angry. For then they would faint away because of me, the very people I have created. I was enraged by their sinful greed. I punished them and hid my face in anger. Yet they kept on in their willful ways. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will guide them and restore comfort to Israel's mourners, creating praise on their lips. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. Let me finish. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. All right, so yesterday, as you know, I teach English full-time as a junior high and high school teacher, and I also, at my school, coach the basketball team. And yesterday, our basketball team had two games, and by the grace of God, we lost both. So, yeah. And after each game, you know, as the coach, you have to give a kind of speech. You know, this was good, this was bad, you did good here, and you did bad here, and here. And the next game, let's do our best. Blah, 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 blah. And as a coach, it's actually easier to give the speech after a loss than it is after a victory. Because when you win, the students or the players, they just think, yeah, we're great. We're the best. We have no problems. Yeah? We'll just keep doing what we do. But when you lose, and we lost bad. We were winning the whole game. And then at the last 2 minutes, they caught up to us. The game was tied, and we went into overtime. And in overtime, we were winning. And then the last minute, we lost. Yeah. And it was a tough loss. And then the second game, same situation. We were winning the whole game, and at the last 2 minutes, they took over. Yeah, so the students were just disappointed, devastated, dejected, all the D words, depressed. That was great. I gave a good speech. I said, look, your heart, your character, we know your character more after you lose than after you win, right? And you will grow stronger because you lose than because you won. So this is your chance. You go through hard times now, and the way that you answer this difficulty will show me how your heart is, what kind of man you are. You can become more depressed, more shallow, more selfish. Oh, that team was cheating. That referee doesn't know how to referee. Oh, Coach Habakon doesn't know how to coach. And you can point fingers and blame, and you think, oh, your teammates are bad, and you didn't have a fair game, blah, blah, blah. Or you can say, yeah, I'm not strong enough mentally. I don't have enough power in my body. I don't have enough stamina. I need to train better. I need to work harder. Or, yeah, that team was better. And they were stronger mentally. And so I can grow. So you can, through a difficult situation, you can have a good response or a bad response. And that's how you'll know what kind of man you are. In the Bible, what God is teaching us here in Isaiah 56 and 57. God is saying, through this difficult situation, you're going to know not only your heart, you're going to know my heart. I'm going to teach you about my character through this testing, this punishment. And you'll learn about yourself and you're wicked and idolatrous and adulterous and evil, greedy heart. You'll learn about that. But then if you do the right thing, if you repent and humble yourself, you're also going to learn about the gospel. My kindness, my graciousness, my love for you. Oh, don't waste this chance to grow as a human, as a nation, as my people. Don't waste this chance. That's the message of Isaiah 56 and 57. A terrible thing happened with the former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. And I'll be honest, I didn't know him at all. I'm very apolitical. I'm not a citizen of the country, so I don't know much about the politics. But you can tell a tree by its fruit. And looking at the response of the people and all, just the outpouring of support, he was loved. He was respected, not only by the Japanese people, but also in the international community. And in the last 2 days, I was reminded of what we were looking at last week from verse 1 of chapter 57. Last week, it said, "The righteous perish, and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away. No one understands." And here, the word perish, as I said last week, was killed suddenly. Young, There's still life left to live. And he was a righteous person. Many people respected and honored him. But he was killed too soon. People depended on him. He had work to do still. And he perished. Early death. And God's word was, you need to take this to heart. You need to ponder this. You need to understand. Otherwise, you'll waste the opportunity of what you can learn from this. And so last week, the point was that the lowly are revived. We got that from verse 15. Where God says, I'm God, I'm holy, I live in a high and holy place. But also with the one who is contrite, crushed, and lowly, humble. That's the word's meaning in Hebrew. And that's where I am. I'm with the crushed. I'm with the brokenhearted. Through every high and every low. And I'm there to revive them. And so if you're a Christian, you should know. You're not here to escape hardship. By no means. You're here to face them with the power and wisdom of God. That's why you're here. That's why you're a Christian. That's why Jesus is inside you. The problem is, you got too much pride, too much arrogance, too much selfishness, and so there is a crushing that needs to happen. There's a humbling that needs to happen. But the promise of God, which is our point today, everybody knows the rules, one-point sermon. Today's point is that the humbled are healed. So that's our point for today. Okay, so a bit of context. Just real quick, not too much. I don't want you to... So here's the situation. Israel, they've been captured... this is about the year 710, 720. Isaiah... Amazing, powerful preacher, who's a priest. The country is successful. Israel, ancient Israel, they have power, they have wealth, they have some enemies. But right now, they're still living in a relative prosperity. Disaster is coming. But that's about 100 years from now. Is the northern country, the northern kingdom, Israel, okay, Assyria took care of them. They're done. But Judah is still coming along. And in the midst of this relative prosperity, Micah the prophet, Hosea the prophet, now Isaiah the prophet, he's saying, Judah. People, there's two things happening. Number one, your economic policies, your political structure is hurting the poor. You're exploiting the weak. The rich are rich at the expense of the poor. The wealthy are taking advantage of the weak, the widow, the orphan. And you're not helping the people you're supposed to help. You're the shepherds, you're the leaders, you're the guides, and you are just getting fat off of their hunger. Does that sound familiar? Is that happening only in ancient Israel? Right? And so these prophets are saying, your greed, is killing people. You're oppressing people. And the problem is you need to ponder this. You need to think about it. What it's showing you, your politics and your economics is showing you who your real God is. And you know who your real God is? Well, back then they called him Moloch, or Baal. But it's really success, prosperity, position and power. That's your God. How do we know? You'd rather have more money than children. You're killing your children. This is all laid out in Isaiah 56, 57. You're literally burning your children to the god Moloch. Oh, those ancient Canaanites, so barbaric. They burn their babies. No, we don't do that. No, we don't. We just abort them. Because we need to have our success. We need to have our prosperity. So, that's one of the problems. The second problem that's laid out in the chapters 56 and 57 is not only your gods are success and power, but you know what also your gods are? Pleasure, comfort, entertainment. So you're every high tree, every big spreading tree, you're putting out your beds. You have your religious prostitution, your ritual fornication. Asherah poles, Ashtaroth. Basically, you're looking for every excuse. You're even using religion to give yourself a reason for sexual pleasure, lewdness, just craziness. Why? Because you love pleasure more than God. You want comfort and enjoyment. You'd rather be entertained than to serve. Does that sound familiar? Does that happen only in ancient Israel? Okay. And so these prophets, they're saying, oh, we have some prosperity now. But I'm telling you, the Lord is being kind. He's not being silent. He's speaking through me. Isaiah, Micah, the other prophets, Hosea, they're all trying to say, repent. Come back. Humble yourself. The crushing is coming. The humbling is coming if you don't humble yourself. And so that was the message here. And so there's two things now, two images that Isaiah is giving us. The two images. Every parent wants their children to either be a lawyer or a doctor, right? If you're Filipino, you can't be a doctor, you'll be a nurse, okay? That's all right. Only the Filipinos understand, but that's okay. So, that's the image that Isaiah is using. The courtroom and the operating room. So look at verse 16. He says, I will not accuse forever. That word accuse is the word for a prosecuting attorney. The one who is in the courtroom and saying, this is their offense. This is the crime. And the one accusing in this situation is the judge. So the judge is the prosecuting attorney. And he's contending. He's accusing. He's prosecuting. And God is saying, number one, your politics, your economy, your socioeconomic situation, you failed. You're guilty of oppressing the poor. You could be communist, you could be capitalist, it doesn't matter. People are hurting, you're not helping. Number two, charge number two, you're adulterous, you're lascivious, you want pleasure, and you just give your body to anybody. And you think by putting some church or some religion on it, making it spiritual, you think it's okay. No, your God is your flesh. Charge number two. And so he's saying you're guilty on all charges. So you need to get punished. But the grace of God is there also in verse 16. I'm not going to do it forever. I will not always be angry. Because if I was, you're dead, all of you. I made your spirit. I know your limits. I know how far and how much you can take. So verse 17, I was enraged by their sinful greed. I punished them, and I hid my face in anger. And here's what happened. Yet they kept on their willful ways. This has not happened yet, by the way. It's around 720, 710. This is going to happen at 685 BC. So about 100, 120 years later. God is saying, I punished you. I stripped you down all the way till you had just one breath left. And you know what? You got up. You put your clothes back on. You brushed yourself off. And you went back to your greed and your pleasure and your sin. You kept on sinning after. Does that sound familiar? Does that only happen in ancient? No, right? What does Proverbs say? Like a dog returns to its vomit, a fool returns to his sin, to his folly. Right. Now, I know nobody here does that. I'm not talking to you. Right? Not you personally, no. Everybody here is righteous, holy, sanctified. Nobody here is doing a bad habit or... No? All right. Just me then. Just me. All right. But that's what he's saying. This hardship and difficulty, it's revealing your heart, which is you're trying to get away from me. You want nothing to do with me. I even punish you. I even put you down into the ground. And still you get up and you continue. Wow. Okay, now the gospel. Verse 18. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. So now the image shifts. We went from the courtroom now to the operating room. We go from the lawyer to the surgeon. Whereas God was the judge accusing them, now he's the doctor healing them. And he says, I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. Well, what does that healing mean? What does it mean to be healed by God? I will guide them. I will restore comfort. I will create praise. Yeah. Three things right there. What does it mean to be healed by God? Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I speak? Do I stay silent? Do I fight or do I wait? I don't know. I need wisdom. I need a counselor. I need a guide, right? And that's what he says, I'm going to guide you. When I heal you, I'll say, here's, right? You know, when you go to the doctor, right? And what do they do after they assess your problem? They give you their medication. And here's your medication. You have a handful of medication. Now, the good doctor will guide you. He'll say, don't take all of this at one time. Right? You don't just, okay. Right? The good doctor says, no. This one's for the morning. Right? You eat some food. You take, you wait. This one's for the after lunch. This one's after dinner, okay? All right, and then I'm going to guide you, okay? If you have some more headaches, call in sick from work, stay in bed, You're going to feel this way. This medicine is going to make you sleepy. This medicine will make you give you a little bit of size. So he's guiding as he heals. When my son broke his arm, they put the cast on him, and I'm thankful for nurses who can guide. And the funny thing is, when they were telling him they had his arm like this, they said, when you sleep, they didn't have to do this. Because I remember I broke my arm. Nobody gave me the advice they gave my son. So they said, when you sleep, your arm is going to naturally fall down to you. That's going to hurt. So you have to put a pillow down there, or you get a string, and tie it to something above you and sleep like this, you know, and that will be comfortable. Guiding as he heals. So, Lord, I need guidance. I need wisdom. You've broken me, you've crushed me, you've humbled me. You're doing surgery in my heart. What do I do? It's so good, so good. And then he restores comfort. Hallelujah. He restores comfort to the mourners, because there's a lot of mourners. Yesterday, again, basketball, one of my players, he lost his temper in the game, and he shouted at the referee. And the referee's like, they do this. This signal, this is a T, right? Technical foul. Unsportsmanlike behavior. Basically, you're being rude. And it's a penalty. And so my player, I said, okay, sit down. And I had to sit next to my player. He was shaking. He was so angry. Right? And so I said, look, that was dumb. You don't yell at the referee. He's shaking. I said, osamenasai. Okay. You have to respond correctly to your anger. I'm with you. And I had to put my arm around. He's sweating. He's wet. It's hot. I still put my arm around him. He stinks. That's okay. I'm the coach. Right? Because in his rage and anger, he couldn't control. He's shaking. He needed a comforter. At that moment, okay? Because that's part of the healing. We're in the middle of the game. You're still in the middle of the game. You still need to get back up and play. And even in that moment, God says, I'm here. I'm here. Be strong, take heart, and wait on the Lord. Why so downcast within me, O my soul? Right? Wait on the Lord. For I will yet praise him. And so he'll restore comfort to the mourners. Some of you, you've been mourning, you've been weeping, you've been crying. Sometimes I say to you, you're not weeping enough. You're not crying enough. You're not mourning enough. You haven't wept enough tears. God still needs to squeeze some more tears out of you. Why? So then you will understand the meaning of his comfort. Because maybe you're trying to comfort yourself. Oh, look at me. Oh, you can do it. Oh, gamanishinasai. Gamanishinasai. No. You'll run out of your own gas. And that's when God will comfort you. That's part of his healing. And then, sarani, on top of that, not only does he guide, not only does he comfort, oh, he puts a song in your mouth. Psalm 40. Yeah? God took me out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on the rock. And then he put a song of praise in my mouth. That's what he does here. Verse 19, creating praise on their lips. And the wonderful praise is not hallelujah. The praise is not shout to the Lord. It's not, you know, oh, you're awesome. It's the praise is what you received from God. Peace. Peace to those far and near. Okay, so in the context, God says, when I sent Babylon to conquer Judah, 90% is going to be deported to Chaldea, to Babylon. You're all going to be, and you're going to be spread out already. Already, Israel is in Assyria, so you're in the north, you're in the east, you're exiled. Nobody's left in the land. Only about 10%, maybe less. Right? And so the ones who are near, they're the poorest, they're the weakest, whatever. And so when I bring you back, the praise of your lips will be peace, peace to those who are far and near. Yeah, so where does this healing mean? So if we notice in verse 15, only the crushed and humbled, they get the presence of God. And then in verse 17, the sickness of the people is their will, their arrogance, and their willful rebellion. But in verse 18, God promises to heal them. So wait. What's the healing? It's guidance, it's comfort, it's praise. But how does the healing come? That's the question. How? It comes through humbling. The healing must be humbling. Okay? The cure is the crushed in spirit. Why? Because in verse 15, that's what God promises. I'm with the crushed. I'm with the humble, the lowly. And so through that, that's where the healing comes. It's, you know what? It's not only Isaiah, but the other big three prophets. So Jeremiah, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. I will put my law within them. I will write it upon their hearts. So Jeremiah's vision of God's healing is a new transformed heart where the Holy Spirit is in control. That's Jeremiah. Let me take you to another one, Ezekiel. This is way after Isaiah and Jeremiah. Ezekiel's vision is a new heart I will give you, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. So, here's the image, right? The operating room. God is the surgeon, and he's going to give you a heart transplant. Yeah. Now, nobody knows this. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. My name is not Chris, it's Christian. It's not spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-A-N. It's spelled K-R-I-S-T-I-A-A-N. Yeah? Yeah. Why? My mother named me after a surgeon. The first doctor to perform a heart transplant was Christian Barnard, South African surgeon. Now, he successfully completed the first human heart transplant, but the heart was not a human. The heart transplant was actually first a monkey heart. The first successful heart transplant was from a monkey's heart into a human, and it worked. And my mom, when she had me, she thought, I want him to be a doctor. So I'll name him after Christian Barnard. She was very disappointed when I said, I don't want to be a doctor. I'd like to be a pastor or a youth pastor. Hi. Okay, so God says, not a monkey's heart. Yeah, your problem is you have a heart of stone. It's so willful. And I'm going to give you a heart of... what is it? It means... when our God is not Jesus, Yahweh, God, our God is success, position, power. Our God is pleasure and material goods and comfort. we become less human. Our humanity diminishes. And when God comes to heal us and God gives us a new heart, he gives us the new creation heart. That's that. That's what the meaning is. Okay. Now, all of this comes from the word peace. Verse 19, creating praise on their lips, peace, peace to those who are near. Now, 700 years later, Jesus comes and he says, I am your peace, your Eirene. My peace I give to you. And one of his converts, a man named Paul, St. Paul the Apostle, he's reflecting on Isaiah 57 and the meaning of salvation. And he writes a letter to the Ephesians. Christ himself is our peace, reconciling us to God through the cross, by which he put to death our hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who were near. That's from Isaiah 57. To those who are far, to those who are near. Through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Paul is talking about an international church. You have your Taiwanese, you have your Filipinos, you have your Japanese, you have your Singaporean, you have your Americans and your Latin Americans. And there's hostility, racism, prejudice. And Jesus is our peace, reconciling us to God and to each other, far away and near. I'm just saying this. Christ is the one who opens the way for returning to God. So the promise of verse 14 is Christ. Christ is the one in whom God comes to dwell with the crushed and humble. From verse 15. Christ's death is why God can acquit a guilty people without dropping charges. The judge, verse 16. It is by his stripes we are healed. So the healing comes at the hurting of Christ. And he is our peace with God. So everything in chapter 57, from verse 14 to 21, that's Jesus. It's all Jesus, fulfilled in Christ. Our presence, our peace, our reconciliation. Everything. So, this whole week, I've been just been reminded of the crushing, the humbling. How about you? I don't know. Just have you been crushed? Are you being humbled? I feel like I've been through the grinder, and God is still putting me there. Okay, we're in this together. Yeah, and. Let's meditate this week on healing. That would be good. God's healing, his goodness, his kindness through the cross. By his stripes, we are healed. Amen? Yeah, let's pray. Lord, through you, I am a new creation. And with you, I have peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Through your pain, my pains are healed. Through your crushing, my brokenness is healed. So I look to you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.